Even without that, there was a certain recognition of basic values. And this recognition came from experience. Families, communities living together found out how to survive by mutual helpfulness. They found out how to destroy by mutual competition and discord. And little by little, it became evident that there were the better things were the ones that would last and endure. This is true in entertainment, in art, music, literature, everything. But we are not much watching this procedure. We are not keeping the truths with it. We are not fulfilling the evidences that these things have locked within themselves. We have determined to do what we please. And then after we've done it, we don't do what we please. We find it is not pleasant. So we have gradually become totally disobedient because of the fact that we wanted to live our own lives. All people wanted to be free of responsibility. And when everyone is free, there is no society. Where everyone wants to do as they please, there is no possibility of cooperation for common good. Where everyone is anxious to have more than anyone else, we can never have honesty. So we have a problem of having betrayed the truths that are developing within the structure of soul life. The soul is being betrayed by the mind. It is being forced to compromise in order to survive, or at least to survive in the way that we want to survive. That is, with considerable luxury and a lot of freedom. But the problem is very definitely there, that the soul has got to be strengthened. Now, the greatest experts on this particular matter were the Neoplatonists of Alexandria. They were the ones who really made the great study of the human soul and its attributes. They found out that the human soul was a proper structure of beauty, that it was harmonious in all its parts, that it was benevolent and constructive in all its functions, and that it lived and fulfilled its purposes for the glory of God and the infinite good of mankind. Therefore, the laws of the soul have got to become embodied in the sciences of physical government and leadership. We are going to have to gradually recognize that the great power of the soul lies in one factor which became the basis of Christianity, and that is that the great power of the soul is love. So that love becomes, I might say, the ultimate of intelligence. Love becomes the final expression of the mind. It becomes absolutely necessary to the advancement and protection of any structure built in society. There is no such a thing as a loveless perfection. There is no such a thing as a heaven filled with hate. All of these qualities must be brought and reconciled. And we find that most people are slow in reconciling these qualities. So we now come to another problem of importance. How are we going to educate people to save themselves? How are we going to find a way that these people can help to secure a more permanent way of life for all of us? There's no use taking the hope that legislation is going to do it. Legislation can't do it because the legislators themselves do not have the insights. Education cannot do it as we know it today because it does not have the integrities. We go from one branch of learning to another, and in every case something is missing. We cannot accomplish with the facilities now available. The only actual availability that we have is ourselves. And the only part of ourselves that can bring us out of the doldrums is the human soul. We can use the power that we possess to improve the world we live in. And while no one is going to be perfect at it, a reasonable improvement in a reasonable number of thoughtful persons can avoid a crisis which may otherwise be very difficult. We can start by overcoming, in some measure too, the mistakes that have not only given us our problems, but are continually hurting us. It isn't that we're giving up something that is wonderful and fine and fortunate. We're giving up only something that has hurt us so badly we can hardly stand it. But for some reason or other, we do not recognize a hurt when we suffer from it. We recognize only that we do or do not do what we please. And all their learning, from the ancient times, from the primitive tribes of Africa to the most remote parts of Asia, we all have been told by the gods and sages that we are not here to do what we please. We are here to do what is necessary to fulfill the purpose of life. The great plan of life is beyond our touching. We cannot change the ages. We cannot change the motion of stars. We cannot do all these great wonders of the galaxies. And we can put all the crafts into orbit that we want to, but we will never be able to correct the ills of society by any conquest of atmosphere or space. We have to work directly with situations. It is true, of course, that if we work with the situations, we will correct most of the mistakes of science and economics which are giving us trouble. Actually, therefore, our big problem is that we've got to face the importance of personal integrity. There is a plan. It is available. It has been known for ages, a way of life that is acceptable to the universal plan. We must find this and use it. There is nothing else that we can do. And we must find how to apply it to various phases of our lives. We talk about getting the nations together. We read in the newspaper that somebody comes along and assassinates another character and all the plans go to pieces again. This is part of a pattern of compound failure that is inevitable. The answer to the whole situation is that, as it is in the case of a community, a country or a nation has to work together. It has to be one of a family of nations. And it has to live and act in accordance and bring it right on down to the final unit of its application. Every family is a nation. Every family with the two or three children and the parents and the relatives is a commonwealth. And the laws of peace and harmony have to be established there. We cannot have a deluge of broken homes and corrupted morals in the family and a great, big, joyous, peaceful world. Nor can we put enough detectives and police on the families to straighten them out. Actually, all of these things have to be done from within. If we want to survive, we've got to live to survive. If we want to build something better out of this mess that we are now in, we've got to improve our own conduct, and we've got to support every factor that is for the common good and stand resolutely against corruption and compromise. If we don't do these things, there's no way of solution. The moment we behave ourselves in these matters, we change the moral atmosphere. And the moral atmosphere is the air of the soul. The soul is straight. Where we do wrong, the soul is sick. The soul weeps for the corruptions of mankind. The deeper meaning of happiness, the securities of a deep and peaceful existence, all these types of things are lost when we compromise the power of the soul in the affairs of mortals. The spirit of man is too remote. The body is too indefinite and corruptible. The mind is too easily bribed and has too many ulterior motives. But the soul cannot be in any way damaged by these things. The soul that is corrupted is only corrupted in the sense that it is prevented from functioning. We are supposed at this time to be building soul. Each human being is supposed to be strengthening his own soul, giving more power to it, so that in the due time of things, that this soul will be like the golden wedding garment of St. Paul. And in the Bible, the soul is the garment of glory. It is that which proves conclusively the wisdom and integrity of the personal life. It is only when the individual begins to work with this and works with it sincerely and consistently that we're going to get the results we want. Now, if anyone will try it for 6 months or a year, I don't think they'd ever give it up. It, actually, they have to not start, because no, very few people would really like to continue having broken homes, and yet they are being broken every day. They would do not believe sincerely that the broken family is a benefit to the unborn child or the infant. They do not believe that corrupted business is an addition to society. They all know the facts. But somewhere in each of these patterns, there is a little some kind of personal selfishness. The individual would like to do what he wants to do, and he's against the individual that tries to prevent him, even if that individual happens to be right. So we have the problem every day of trying to work with these situations. But a person who would like to see a home that is not in constant turmoil, who would like to see children grow up without becoming gangsters, can do this. There's no reason why the virtues of the soul, which is in itself higher than the mind, cannot control and direct the leadership of society. The world of society that is going to survive is surviving because it is built upon soul principle and soul power, and is maintained by obedience to soul law. We've got to shift from our present pattern of following anything that offers a slightly larger salary to a situation in which the rulership of mankind moves to the next higher level of his own consciousness. And this stepping up to the next higher level is the stepping up to understanding. It is the step beyond the mind. It is the step beyond genius and beyond philosophy and beyond integrity as we practice it. It is the gradual realization that there is a one great pattern that all society must follow it. This is hinted at in Moore's Utopia, and it is very well set forth in many other novel works of thoughtful people who have tried to influence society. There is no doubt in the world that this problem we face could be solved without war, without contamination, without any serious loss of value to anyone, if we would begin to live by the integrities rather than the mistakes. Actually, every bankruptcy is a monument to an integrity that has been broken. Every time that we find people in grave trouble, they've done something that's wrong. Now, why would these people not prefer not to be in great trouble? Why would they prefer to go through a bad scandal or go through prison punishment because of a mistake that they never needed to make in the first place? To get rid of this personal determination to break the rules in order to satisfy the appetites just can't go on into the next generation. The next generation can start where all changes start, in the home. That is the Chinese concept. If the average American home begins to improve, if it's only a 5% improvement, a 10% improvement, we will have a much greater chance of going into the 21st century in one piece. And also, in doing this and making these changes, we prepare a new generation to take over. At the present time, the generation that must take over when we go is in worse condition than we are. The problem is that we cannot have people go on and carry the load unless those people have been exposed to integrities. If the young person growing up today is given the values that are necessary, he will help to build the future. But going as he does now, he is more apt to want to have laws removed entirely so that he can do exactly as he please and destroy anything he doesn't like. We've got to a point where the integrities are gone. And this is not possible to a people who want to go on and build a better world. We have great need today of making simple changes in our personal habits, the simple revisions of our integrities. We need to have greater moral codes of ethics. We may or may not need more theology, that is the question. But we certainly need some religion and need it badly. We need anything that will induce us to live straight and to do what is right. And that is what the burden was of the ancient times, where the mysteries were established as sacred institutions. They were solid centers of integrity in changing worlds. With a solid background at some point, with a solid section of our society dedicated to one purpose, we can allow the others to drift a little more, and they will drift back into shape. But if we give them no example, if we give them nothing to build upon, if our public school system is as corrupt as our politics, what are we going to do? We are going to destroy the product of ages of growth. We are going to tear down what the soul has built over a period of ages. We are going to betray the whole course of civilization, which has always had a few who have been enlightened and given strength, a few have been martyred. They have died for principles, and we are dying for breaking principles. And this has to be a change in this particular point of view if we wish to go on. So we will say that after the coming of wisdom is the impetus given by the soul within the individual to take what we find, take the wisdom that we know and take it out of the books and the air and out of our own heads and put it to work in society. Wisdom is of no value if it's not used. And when we get to the point where we will be willing to admit the obvious, namely that we are happier and better with knowledge and wisdom than we are without it, then we can do something. But we cannot go on this way. Half the nations of the world are at war today, or in various forms of warlike maneuvers. We have never had a time in which we've had more money and less ethics, more power and less principle, more scope for progress and less progress. Therefore, we've got to get together and do these things. And it gets to be, to win, it must be a victory of soul power over brute power. That was the dream of Gandhi, and it must be the dream of all. The soul within us, the life within, has to gain victory over the bad habits of the body and also over the conspiracies of the mind. We may try to get by without making these corrections, but we will not be able to. We cannot go against common sense, integrity, honor, and realities. We cannot break universal laws or bend them to our purposes. We are part of a very large structure that extends far beyond the dimensions of space as we know them. The mystery of life goes on to inconceivable distances and qualities in every direction. And one little planet is not going to be able to break all the rules of this great pattern with impunity. We live in a universe of law, of infinite benevolent law, ever working for the common good of all. And we cannot be an island of hate in an ocean of love. We cannot be an island of fallacy in a great plan of consistencies and integrities. So it becomes very important for us to realize now that the wisdom, the thinking that we have to do, will have to be enlightened, and that we have sources for it. It is quite possible to build it. It is not impossible. But it will require a little thought, a little dedication, a little consecration to principles. If we will keep these things and do them as we know they should be done, we can have a pretty good time. And each person in his own life can begin little ways to do it. If the person has a sharp temper, they give a little work on that. Get it so it isn't quite so sharp. If an individual knows they have a tendency to disobey the rules of good sportsmanship and make all decisions in favor of themselves, it's time to find out. If a married couple decide and realize that selfishness is separating them, that they are not willing to work together, they want to live off of each other but not with each other, that these types of things are all detrimental. If we will go to work with these little problems and make sure that every child has the best bringing up that we can give it, that every people that we know in the world are given support for their integrities, all these things will help. And with just a small indication of this, we will put the little green sprig out of the earth and show that we are what we are trying to do. There has to be a new birth of truth, a new birth of virtue, a new birth of dedication, a new birth of the realization that we are here for the purpose of growing, and that growth can be a beautiful adventure. If we cannot make a beautiful adventure, if we pervert, destroy, and corrupt it ourselves at every step of the way. So, to get our philosophy to work, and we can do great things as needs arise. Thank you.